the baseball team is playing for a trip to the World Series.
You're darn right they are.
Yeah, Bubba.
Let's go.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's not allowed to be partial, even though he's from Cleveland. He's a columnist for MLB.com. I'll just leave it at that and not bring it up. He's our buddy. He's a native Northeast Ohioan. He's Anthony Castrovince. Hello, Anthony.
What's happening, Anthony?
Hello. You mean we're not going to talk about Deshaun Watson? We're going to talk about the guards? Let's do it.
You can call back in, 216-474-0092.
Well, yeah, get in line, and you can figure out who you want to blame.
Okay, let's get this out of the way. Oh, my God, what a fun season this has been. What a fun season. And I didn't. Did you think that this was remotely possible just at the beginning of this year?
Everything's possible. I thought it was possible within the division, but ALCS, no. I'm legitimately stunned that this team, you know, won a playoff series and is where it is right now, and it's just a credit to ultimately the bullpen and the management of the bullpen over the course of the year. You know, that's the number one thing. That's something that you just could not have forecast, because bullpens are notoriously difficult to forecast, even when it's known quantities back there. You know, you could bring back your entire bullpen from last year and have a completely different experience. And maybe that happens next year, but they had so many young guys step up in those, you know, high leverage relief roles that just completely swung the trajectory of the season.
It blew me away more than anything, Anthony, that here we are in a game five. Matt Boyd is rolling, gets you two innings, and then all of a sudden they go rookie, 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 all the way the rest of the way. Like, that to me is the most
Only two innings.
Yeah, after two innings. And then it's just a parade of rookies who proceed to mow down Tiger hitters. Like, that to me is the most unfathomable part.
Yeah. And for the record, I hated that. And, you know, it worked. It very easily could have not worked. You know, almost didn't work, but Lane Thomas kind of saved the day there. But, yeah, that was really teetering on the brink of overthinking it, you know, because – yeah, it's game five, all bets are off, all hands on deck, et cetera, but there was a real scenario where they run out of, you know, true relievers there. And, you know, next thing you know, it's Kevin Williams, you know, pitching in the 10th inning or something. So, it definitely ended up working to their advantage, but I won't say it on air, but that he took a risk. Let's just say that.
Yeah, ended up with 8 pitchers in that game. Anthony, from just judging from what you just said, you thought the same thing that I thought. When Eli Morgan, I'm thinking, Eli, get a couple of outs. Just get to 2 outs in the 8th inning. When he gave up a hit to the first batter and Steven goes out, and I said, man, if Class A doesn't have it, what's he going to do? And
I thought Eli Morgan just he was the unsung hero of the day.
Wasn't he?
Enormous. Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead with that thought because I thought when they brought Eli in, I thought, uh-oh, he's usually not pitched in situations like this.
Right.
Well, boy, did he pitch well.
That was absolutely monumental. And because he's a guy, I mean, you look, people who haven't followed this team all year will just kind of call up the numbers and say, oh, Eli Morgan, sub-2 ERA out of the bullpen. But he wasn't in a lot of high leverage, you know, moments this year. That just wasn't his role. So, yeah, he showed some stones there as well.
Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, joining on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. All right, Anthony, let's spin it forward. So the roster came out. The biggest, at least to me, the biggest addition to this is Pedro Avila being a part of it and Ben Lively not being on the roster. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I figured they'd go with a 13-man pitching staff with the longer round and, you know, fewer off days, et cetera. And Lively, I get that because, you know, they do have Gavin Williams, I would presume, Joey Cantillo as well, but, you know, it's obvious one of those guys is going to start game 4 and or be their 4th starter, I should say. I don't know the exact order of things, but my only thought there is just, you know, Ben Lively obviously is a big reason why the Guardians won the division. There's no question about it. Was he over his skis a bit? Probably, you know, based on his history and just kind of, you know, when you dig down in the dirty metrics and, you know, hard hit percentage and you know, whiff rates and chase rates and things like that. He probably got away with some things this year, and I think that caught up with him a bit in the second half a little bit. So there is that. And also, just facing the Yankees, I mean, there is something to be said for having some more sizzle in your starting rotation, giving them different looks in that regard, because you're rolling out. You know, you got Alex Cobb in game one. I mean, they're not hitting them with a ton of just raw stuff and velocity. So that'll be a different look in the rotation when that turn comes up versus Lively. So I think that's – I haven't talked to anybody about it yet, but that would strike me as the most logical thought process there.
Any chance you think he's out of gas?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not in his heart and head. I think he's still – you see him with the iPad and dugout. I think he's still bringing value of some sort to this squad. But, again, you just – you rely more on a longer-term track record than what he gave them in the first half. What he gave them was fantastic, but I like the way they've done their playoff roster construction this year, which is to not lean towards the guys who got you here necessarily, but lean towards the moment that we're in right now. You saw that with the composition of the bullpen, going into the division series where where they're, riding the hot hands as opposed to, keeping Nick Samlin on the roster. You know, that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard conversation to have with someone who's got some tenure here and has been a big part of what they've done in the last few years. But, you know, at the end of the day, Eric Sobrowski, he came up here and the stuff sizzled and, you saw what he was able to do in a handful of innings and you roll with it into the postseason. I don't think that's the kind of move they make in the Terry Francona era, to be honest with you. So that's just one distinction you kind of draw from now versus the past. And that's not to diminish anything Tito accomplished here. That just struck me as something like, oh, okay. It's kind of a different feel to going into October where we're going to ride the hot hands more than, the known quantities.
Alex Cobb getting the game one start for the Guardians. What do you think of that?
It's pretty fascinating. We saw last night Kodai Senga made his third start of the season, and it was his second start of the postseason, and he was a disaster.
He got rocked. That,
but it just kind of speaks to where what we've seen in the game this year, where even the good teams are really scrambling to get meaningful innings from their starting staff. Been a lot of injuries and whatnot, and so now you have these unusual situations where Kodai Senga making his third start in LCS game one, and Alex Cobb, I've kind of lost track of how many starts. I think it was like three in the regular season, one in the postseason. So his fifth start of the year is in LCS game one. It's just welcome to baseball in 2024, hang with it. I like Alex Cobb a lot, and you gotta respect what he's given them when he has been able to take the ball. It's been pretty fascinating. Now, obviously it was very, in and out of game three of the division series against the Tigers. But, they really hope to get some length from him, I think, because you can't manage this series like you did the last series for a couple of reasons. One, it's a much different lineup you're facing. And two, you don't have this ridiculous number of off days in a short amount of time. So a seven-game series is a much bigger test.
What do you make of the fact that all four of these teams that are left basically each have one starter they feel good about and a whole lot of shakiness?
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It's just the year we're in, it's sad because you've seen, pitchers are limited like never before in terms, everyone's careful about pitch counts and whatnot and how they bring these guys up and develop them, and they throw fewer innings than ever. And they throw harder than ever, and that's a big reason why the injury rate is where it is. You got bullpen arms are developed differently, and bullpens are deeper than they've ever been before. Guys who would have been clear closers a decade or two ago are now like sixth-inning guy. Or look at Cade Smith. He's a third-inning guy in Game 5 of the division series. He's pitched anywhere from the third through the sixth innings, I believe, in this postseason. I mean, Cade Smith could close for a lot of teams right now. But he's deployed much earlier for this Guardians team. That's the nature of baseball in 2024.
Anthony Castrovince joining us, MLB.com. Last thing, the Guardians go to the World Series if, and let's go deeper than outscore the Yankees four times,
which is very difficult to do. But yeah, if the bullpen's not gassed, It's just that simple. Like, you know, that's the great fear in this, is it took so much to get to this point, both in terms of winning the division and then overtaking the Tigers. It took Class A, Smith, Heron, and Gattis all, you know, throwing north of 70 appearances. And then, you know, multi-inning outings. You know, Class A had to get 6 outs in the division series for the first time in his career to finish off game 5. So, you know, and then you got one day off in between. And then it's start right up again against one of the best lineups in baseball. So, you know, it is that simple. If the bullpen performs like it's performed all year, they can absolutely beat the Yankees. The Yankees are absolutely pitchable. It's fascinating how different this series is than the one 2 years ago. And the Guardians pushed them to the brink 2 years ago with a much different pitching composition and less thump, and significantly less thump in the lineup. Now they have a little more thump in the lineup. It's still guards ball. You know, it's still contact and speed. It's not, you know, the 27 Yankees, that's for sure. But they do have more guys who can put the ball over the fence in big spots, as we saw with Thomas the other day. You know, that did not exist for them 2 years ago. So they have that going for them, and they've got a really good pitching plan. It's just, do these guys still have gas in the tank? That's all it's going to come down to.
I can't. You ready? Go ahead and slap me for this. I can't wait until this season is over and we start talking about what this team can do for next year, because I think there are fascinating moves on the horizon. So I need to back off and enjoy the moment, because this is going to be even more fun than it's been all season long. But, man, they're in a position where next year this is going to be really interesting in the offseason. There's some moves that might make everybody mad. But here you are in the ALCS, and that was the whole goal. So it's been a lot of fun. Well, one of the steps along the way to the ultimate goal. How's that?
Absolutely. You know, and hopefully this leads to, you know, like we saw when they unexpectedly made the World Series.
Yeah.
In 2016, you know, they went out and invested in the offseason. And I still say that 2017 team, as bad as it turned out against the Yankees in the division series, I mean, that was the best team I've been around here in Cleveland. I would stack it up against, you know, some of those 90s teams. They were just that good. They were probably, I think, the best run differential in franchise history. That's a long-winded way of saying, hopefully this leads to some investment. You know, this unexpected run, hopefully it leads to good things in the future as well.
Awesome to have you with us. If you're bored later on in the series, because, you know, I'm sure you will be, we look forward to having you back with us. Thanks, Anthony.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Anthony Castrovince, read him at MLB.com. He's a great columnist and really knows his stuff. And it's always a pleasure to have him with us right here on Baskin and Phelps.